Okay, so this week's parsha we have Midvar Sheker Terchuk. Distance yourself from falsehood. Those of you from the Bamasiya Chabura, yeah, will remember it. That we had a whole machlokas, how to learn this pasuk. What was the machlokas? Remember? Yeah, it was a tashbiz. So there's machlokas, how to learn what the pasuk is telling us, whether there's actually a mitzvah deraisa as being taught by this pasuk that you can't lie. But whether it's an official mitzvah deraisa that this pasuk is teaching us that you can't lie, or it's not in the pasuk itself as a formal mitzvah, certainly the message of the pasuk is that you're supposed to not be lying. Midvar Sheker Tircha. Chaim Kanievsky, in his Sefer Orchas Yosher, brings a medrash which says that if a person would ingrain himself this quality of the Midas HaEmes, he would never do an Aveira, ever. If a person would ingrain in himself the quality of the Midas HaEmes, he would never sin. And the Medrash illustrates this with a story. Medrash says that many years ago, in the times of the Bayis Sheni, there was a person who grew up in a very affluent home. And he had everything that he wanted. And he would do whatever he desired. You have people who, their parents just pamper them, and they give them whatever they want. And this individual, he had whatever he wanted, and he would follow whatever he desired. And he did all the averas that he wished. Whatever he wanted to do, he did. Eventually, he had a change of heart. He felt bad. He felt guilty for his wayward ways. And he went to Reb Shimon ben Shetach to ask him what to do. To ask him how to do tshuva. If only we had Reb Shimon ben Shetach. Do you guys know who Reb Shimon ben Shetach was? Yeah, he lived in the Bayis Sheni era. We live in a generation where that we have no mussug of what it means to have the country governed by Talmidei Chachamim. Can you imagine if the Gedolei Hador would run the government in the country? What kind of world we would live in? Instead, you know, the Gedolei Hador, unfortunately, don't have any powers. They live, you know, in their small, beautiful bedrooms in Bnei Brak, wherever. And we have other people running countries. But we don't even have a mussug of what it means to have a gadol running the country. Can you imagine having a gadol running all the events, all the mundane affairs of the country, what that would do for the country? That was Reb Shimon ben Shetach. In the Bayis Sheni era, so there was a crazy turbulence post the Hashmonai era. The ending of the Hanukkah story is actually not so happy, if you know any history. And it was crazy turbulence for many, many years. And for 9 years, there was like a safe haven where all the bad people lost power. And Reb Shimon ben Shetach's wife, sister, was the queen for 9 years. And as soon as the Gedolim were in charge, like everything just changed for those 9 years. The brilliance of how to run a society when it's run by the Gedolei Hador is just remarkable, and it's something that we don't even fathom. We grew up in an era where, you know, for hundreds of years it didn't exist. But that was Reb Shimon ben Shetach. He was the Gedolei Hador in the Bayis Sheni era. And this individual came to Reb Shimon ben Shetach, and he said, Rebbe, he started crying. He said, what do I do to rectify my ways? So Reb Shimon ben Shetach said to him that there's a very easy and simple solution. Don't lie. Take it upon yourself not to lie. And it'll solve everything. So the guy said, well, that sounds easy. Fine, sure. I accept. Reb Shimon ben Shetach said, I want you to take a shvua that you won't lie. The guy took a shvua. He said, took a shvua, he won't lie. Fine. Time goes on, and the Medrash says that eventually there was a certain day where his neighbor left the house for an extended period of time, and he was overcome by temptation, and he stole every last article in the house. It says, klei kesef, klei zahav, like everything. He stole every last article in the house. And as he's walking out of the house filled with his neighbor's valuables, he says to himself, what am I going to do? My neighbor asks me what happened. My neighbor's going to ask me what happened, and I'm going to have to lie. But if I lie, I'm violating my shvua. He says, I see from here the brilliance of Reb Shimon ben Shetach, and he puts back all the stuff, and it worked. It solved the issue. Says the Medrash, if a person has the Midas HaEmes, really has the Midas HaEmes, to this point that he's not willing to lie, it'll solve him from all averus. Rav Chaim goes on to bring a maisa with the Shla, where the Shla emphasizes this particularly when it comes to chinuch. The Shla writes that in his company, in the Shla's company, there was a great Sfardish Chassid, a great tzaddik from the Bnei Sfard, and this particular Chassid had the remarkable quality that if you offered him everything in the world, he would not lie. He wouldn't utter a falsehood. And the Shla is discussing this with him. Where did he get this remarkable trait from? And he writes, or the Shla writes, that this man told him that it came from his father. His father had a practice in the house. He had the following rule of thumb in the house. That if there's ever a fight, a scuffle, a mishap, anything wrong happens in the house, so this is the rule. If you admit that you made a mistake and you tell me the truth, I'll be mochel you on condition that you don't do it again. But if some of you admit that you told the truth, I'll be mochel you, just don't do it again. But if you lie and I catch you, it's not going to be pretty. And this individual says that that's exactly what happened when they grew up and there'd be some issue in the household and the father would inquire what happened. When the children would admit that they told the truth, so the father would be mochel them immediately and even give them some coins, he wrote. He would even reward them for telling the truth. But if they would lie, so then it wasn't pretty. They would get severe punishments. And so he grew up. He says, I grew up without the ability to lie. With that type of a chinuch, I couldn't lie. And the Shla praises him for how he turned out to be such a remarkable chassid. So in terms of protecting ourselves from averos, and in terms of instilling in our children chinuch, the mitzvah ha'emes is crucial. There's a Gemara in Beitza that applies this to Talmud Torah. The Gemara in Beitza on Daf Lamed Ches brings a Maisa with Rabbi Abba. Says that Rabbi Abba lived in Bavel and he decided to make Aliyah to go to Eretz Yisrael. He was Ola Eretz Yisrael. I don't think they had Nevesh back then. So when he was going up to Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says that he said a tefillah, that when I get to Eretz Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please give me the ability to say something smart in learning to the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, that they should accept my words. That was the tefillah that he said. So he travels to Eretz Yisrael, and he sees three of the great Amoraim, talking and learning, and they had a kasha. So they asked Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba entered the discussion, and he suggested an answer. And the Gemara says that they laughed at his answer. They laughed at his answer, that's what Gemara says. And it analyzes, why they laughed at it, and what was that maslokas. But you see from the Gemara that his tefillah was not accepted. Apparently, his tefillah wasn't accepted. And the question is, why not? He issues a heartfelt tefillah that he wants his... He davened to Hashem for something, something that's reasonable, that he should fit in socially. He should say a nice svara and sound smart, and it's not listened to. So if an Amora, davens like this, then he's not listened to, we have to understand why not. So the Chassam Sofer writes that the reason he wasn't listened to is because this was an incorrect tefillah. Because when it comes to learning, our goal in learning is not to sound smart, to say something good. The goal in learning is to achieve emes. That's why we're here. We're here to get the Dvar Hashem, the clarity. Who cares if you say a bad svara? The bad svara will help me sharpen, help you sharpen what the pshat is. Who cares if you're right? Who cares if you're wrong? It doesn't matter. The goal in learning is not to sound smart. The goal in learning is to get more clarity, and therefore that's why the tefillah wasn't accepted. I want to share with you a story that it's really a remarkable story. It really impacted me a lot, really, this story. And it's about Porat Yosef. Yeshiva's Porat Yosef. This is why I'm half Sephardi, you guys. So Yeshiva Porat Yosef was actually started up. Do you know who started it up? Yeah, the Benish Chai was behind starting up Porat Yosef at the beginning of the 1900s. What is that?
He collected funding.
He was behind it. And it started up. And the Rosh Yeshiva was Rav Ezra Atiyah. Rav Ezra Atiyah was the Rosh Yeshiva of Porat Yosef. The Chazon Ish had an encounter with Rav Ezra Atiyah, And I'm sorry for pronouncing it as an Ashkenaz, but and the Chazon Ish said that he was on the Madrig of a Rishon. So he was the Rosh Yeshiva of Parat Yosef, and it was originally situated in the old city in Yerushalayim. At the time of the War of Independence, so it was extremely dangerous. To be in the old city at the time was extremely dangerous. The Arabs were threatening to slaughter all the Jews, and they were right by the Arabs. It was extremely dangerous to keep the yeshiva there. So they had to move. They had to move the yeshiva, and I think the building was destroyed even. They didn't go back to the old building, I believe. They relocated to the new city of Yerushalayim. They left the old city, and they had a new building. At that time, it was an extremely dangerous period for Klal Yisrael. All the surrounding Arab nations are threatening to, and they did attack the Yidden. And the British, you know, left. They were in control of Palestine, and they left Eretz Yisrael, and they let the Jews fend for themselves. So exactly at that tkufa, when it was extremely a very hostile time, so the following story took place. There's an avreich in the yeshiva who went to Rav Ezra Atiyah, and he said, I need my smicha certificate. Why did I need a smicha certificate? So the klal in the yeshiva was that even if you passed smicha, he wouldn't give you the certificate because he wanted you to stay and learning as long as you can. Meaning you should, even if you got the certificate, you should stay as long as you can. When you get a position, when time is right, so then he'd give you the certificate. That was the policy in the yeshiva. So this avreich was offered a position, and so he needed a certificate. So Rav Ezra agreed. He took out the certificate, and he's going to sign it. And as soon as he's about to sign it, he saw that it said on the certificate, there was a clause, signed here in the building of Purat Yosef. That's what it said on the certificate. So he said, I can't sign this. I can't sign it. I'm not standing in the building of Purat Yosef. We relocated. But this avreich needed the smicha certificate. So what does he do? So he takes off of his Rosh Yeshiva garb. He dresses like a regular person. And in the midst of extremely dangerous situations, he sneaks back to the old building of Parat Yosef. He enters the building. He signs it. And then he goes back. That was Rav Ezra Atiyah. Who was the Avreich? Rav Avadia. It was Rav Avadia Yosef. Rav Avadia was given a position in Egypt. Rav Avadia was given a position in Egypt. He needed his certificate. He asked Rav Ezra for the certificate. And that was the mysterious nefesh of Rav Ezra. It was remarkable. I'm very inspired by the story. Okay. Shkaya Chemra. Yeah.